This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Inside the Hall of Fame, I'm Booker T, six-time world champ, two-time Hall of Famer. Got my man Brad Gilmore here with coming to you from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And today, guys, we're ready to get to it because I'm coming off of a relaxed weekend in G-Town. That's Galveston, Texas, for you guys that don't know. Just chilling in the Winnebago, man. I got that brand new 4200 BTU AC. Ooh. It in there, man. It was cold, man. It felt like an iceberg in there at certain times, man. But I'm just glad to be back inside the Hall of Fame, kicking it with all of you guys inside the chat. I just want to say big ups, man. Make sure you guys let us know where you're coming from. But Bradley, how you doing, man? How you feel?
You know, I'm doing good. I didn't have the relaxing weekend. I had the whirlwind weekend. I guess I was in at Fort Lauderdale over the weekend. But I am excited because we are inching closer to the biggest event in reality of wrestling history, the Summer of Champions, July 15th at the Humble Civic Center. That's July 15th, and tickets are available right now on realityofwrestling.com. Kind of been a signature event, not kind of, it has been the signature event along with Christmas Chaos for us.
Yeah.
For the last several years. This is the ninth one. Nine. I can't believe it's been that many.
It's about to get on, man. We're about to do it all over again. The last time we was on the Civic Center, we had over 750 people out there representing. This time we pushing to have the biggest reality of wrestling event to date. This one coming up, we plan on pushing it, you know, I don't know, maybe 1,000, 1,500, a couple of thousand. You never know.
We're
trying to, we got some television advertisement going on, and we got the man behind the man that's really pulling all the strings, Walker, Texas Lawyer. Give him a big shout out. He's definitely the main primary sponsor for this event, man. Without Walker, we could not get this thing done.
Yeah, so we're excited. If you want to come out to the Humble Civic Center, July 15th, you don't want to miss it. I'm sure we're going to be naming everything that's coming up on that because this Saturday is also Reality Wrestling Weekend at the World Gym Arena. Several matches announced, so you don't miss that one. You're going to see a rematch between Edge Stone and Matty Ice of the Heat, along with a big tag team match, Fly Def taking on the Heat as well for the tag titles. So it's going to be a big weekend for you Saturday night, Book. You got your working boots on.
Oh yeah. I'll be there, man. But I'll be relaxed. I'll be coming from Galveston again. I'm taking another trip. I'm getting away unplugged. You know what I mean? But definitely, man. Reality wrestling is definitely on the rise, and you can catch a lot of reality wrestling stars out there doing a lot of big things right now, guys. So keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes peeled for the stars of reality of wrestling.
I saw Will All Day at some show over the weekend jumping off of something, just jumping off onto about 20 guys.
Hell yeah.
And he jumped off a balcony or something.
Hey, man, that's what it's all about, man. It's all about, you know, seeing reality wrestling talent out there. I saw a couple of, you know, they're not reality wrestling alumni or anything like that, but they are reality wrestling talent, lights, camera, faction. I saw those guys on AEW last week. Oh, yeah. So big shout out to lights, camera, faction for going out there, getting the work done.
We met those guys at one night in Vegas. They just showed up, and I remember they were helping put the ring together, you know, and set up the ring, and they called me aside. We talked for a little while, and then when they came down to Reality Wrestling, I was always impressed with them from just their presence, their character presence, you know, how to get a crowd either behind them or against them with that. And not everybody has that entertainment gene. So that's something that they've always had that stuck out to me.
Yeah, man. Watching AEW, and saw those guys on there. We was watching, Raw, I guess a couple of weeks ago, and Zach Mason and Charmel, like, that Zach? That is Zach, you know? So my boy's getting around, man. Zach Mason started with reality wrestling at fantasy camp.
That's,
man,
so crazy.
And see him and the growth over these last few years, man, it's unbelievable.
It's incredible. Well, Book, I know that there's a few stories.
One of my kids is a Stone Cold rookie. His name's Rocket. He came to me last week and say, you know, is it time yet for a WWE tryout? It's a Rocket. Hold on for a second. Let's get the moisture behind the ears a little dry before we start thinking about that.
That's endearing. You know, how old is Rocket? He's got to be early 20s, right? Something like that?
If so, yeah.
If so, yeah.
I don't think he's 20 yet.
Oh, he's not even 20 yet. Oh, yeah. Wait your time, brother. Take your ticket. Wait exactly. For your number to be called. It will happen.
We talked about it, too. You know, and I say, look, man, I say, you know, you got talent. You know, you're going to go a long way in this business. I say, but for me, you know, my route was I felt the same way. I felt like I had talent. And I say, I didn't go look for it. I say, I waited on somebody to call. You know, and the thing is, if you're good, they're going to call.
They're gonna call.
I say so just sit back, you know, let's go on this ride.
See, someone like Rocket, you know, he's getting, and it's similar to like Roxanne Perez and a couple others, AQA, they got to walk into an infrastructure. You know what I mean? They got to walk into really as close to as you can get to a WWE NXT produced style show from the get-go. So the breeding ground, the way that the show's set up for everybody listening, it really does make it feel like when you get to that level, like you've already been there before. It's simulated just for that specific reason.
Yeah. But one thing that I've noticed, man, is I think it's true. You know, they say it's true just in life and in general that women mature a whole lot faster mm-hmm. than men. And I think girls who've gone to WWE has had a lot more success than our guys, mm-hmm. Just because I think the mature level more than anything. So, hey, man, but like you said, it is a learning ground where you can actually learn what it takes to actually know what it feels like to be at the next level. That's what reality wrestling is all about.
Yeah. So just, you know, wait, Rocket. Man, you know, you know what they say? The eager beaver could be the collapse of a dam.
Yeah, that's true. But I want guys like that
for sure.
I need guys like that want to test their will and feel like, you know, I'm ready for that next step. Just because of what they're doing at Reality of Wrestling. Reality of Wrestling is just a really small pun in the big scheme of things. Mm-hmm. When you really look at this thing, and my thing is you know, preparation is the only luck, but you got to be ready 100% when you get to that level, because you might only have one shot at it. You know what I mean? You may not get that second shot at that apple right there. So my thing is preparation. And then when you get there, shock and amaze them. So when you when they see you, they say, hey, let's put this kid in position ASAP, immediately. When I came to WWE, I never went to the power plant, the FC, you know, what was it, FCW or whatever.
OVW,
I never
did all that.
I never did that. I was a big star. I was
you big star. You know what? Otis Lingman wants to weigh in on this and says, I can honestly say Reality Wrestling is an absolutely fantastic product. The matches, stories, and the presentation are literally top notch. Booker T, you're playing no games. We appreciate
Hey, man,
that.
I got some good people around me. Big ups to Kevin Bernhardt, who writes a lot of the show, a lot of the stories. I just come in and change most of it. that's my job. But together, we come together and collaborate, and we just go out and try to make a really, really cool young product that people can watch and go, wow, this is pretty cool. And then they may actually want to be a part of Reality Wrestling. We're like that traveling circus, man. We're looking for everybody to want to be a part of Reality Wrestling. So guys, you're out there, you got that itch, you want to jump on board, go to realityofwrestling.com and sign up today. Do it. Hey guys, we got to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Maybe I choose you. You ain't gotta be the only one, we could be too. I see you over there.
This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore. Fly to Cabo,
you could be my island mommy. Yeah, baby. That was a sweet commercial right there, man. Especially the way I walked off and had enough space there for the logo and all that stuff. That right there, that's professionalism, dog. That's doing it. And the thing is, I had 30 seconds to pull it off, and I pulled it off in 29.8.
29.8, something
like that. And we did it in one take, baby. That's a pro. That's a pro for you right there, man. Always Johnny on the spot. But big ups. Big ups to Tech Walker, Texas Lawyer, for making that happen right there, Geek.
Hey, Book, you said before we started, you had something that you wanted to get off your chest. Something you saw over the weekend concerned you, it disturbed you, it bothered you, may I say. And you said, you know what, I want to wait till I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to do this on social. I'm not going to do this anywhere else.
You know, one thing I noticed, man, over the weekend, a lot of fake news seems to happen about me. And it normally comes from one e-wrestling news site. And the thing is, this reporter, his name was Thomas Loesen. I want to put his name out there because, guys, anytime you hear a story from this guy, you got to question it, all right? Because when you see something, you got to say something. That's the way I feel. And with articles that come out about me, guys, please do your research. Go back and read the story. Or come back to the show and pull it up and see exactly what was said about this one topic. The one topic we was talking about was Ricky Starks. Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks had a comment that he made about the Four Pillars moniker that he didn't agree with it. He made all the other guys in the back feel like such and such and such and such. I said, man, you know, Ricky Starks, you know, I said, if that happened in my company, that guy probably would have gotten fired just going out there making news like that. Brad actually came up with the idea of who the actual four pillars he thought would be for AEW. And I think it was John Moxley. I think it was Chris Jericho. I think it was Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega.
That's what I said, yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And I say, I can agree with that. I say, but me personally, the title of the match that those guys had, that main event match, the Four Pillars match, and Ricky Starks making a comment about it. I say, man, that's like a movie. I say, that's like a title of a movie. You need something to get the fans in the building. You know what I mean? Whether it's true or not, that's not what this thing's about. It's about show business. It's about putting something on the marquee, and that right there on the marquee for a lot of people might have been that carrot that enticed them to come into the building to watch these young guys go out there and do that thing. Me personally, I don't give a damn about who the Four Pillars are or the moniker or none of that. But I did say, you noticed that John Moxley didn't make a comment about it. You noticed Chris Jericho didn't make a comment about it because they know this is a business, and that's the way this works. When you hear a story like this from a company like e-wrestling, a publication like e-wrestling news, guys, don't believe it. It's fake news. I did not say that. Now, Brad, on the other hand, they should have attributed this story to him. Now, on the other hand, they I was reading another story that e-wrestling news came out with, and it was about a comment that Matt Hardy made, and they said Matt Hardy was comparing Orange Cassidy to The Undertaker. Okay, now I say, let me go back and read this. And the story that was really told by Matt Hardy was the relationship that Tony Khan has with Orange Cassidy, and the relationship that Vince McMahon had with Mark Callis was similar in a way, the way they trusted each other and whatnot. Totally fake story, the way those guys printed that. Totally clickbait, the way they tried to make Matt Hardy sound talking about Orange Cassidy and The Undertaker. It's wrong more than anything. And these journalists, so-called journalists, they should be fired. They should be ashamed of themselves, but they should be unrecognized as far as being real journalists. That's just the way I feel.
Well, let me say two things to that. First, to The Undertaker, Orange Cassidy thing. You're absolutely right. They took a headline that they thought would make people go, what the hell did Matt Hardy say? And they either click it, or in culture today, what people do is they just quote tweet it and say, look at this idiot saying that Orange Cassidy's like The Undertaker. People don't even read it past the headline.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot. But to the four pillars thing, when I saw the same story you did, and I was upset as well, but I wasn't upset for the same reason you were. You were upset because they attributed something to you that you did not say, and I was upset because I should have had the headline. You know, put me in the goddamn headline. Let's say Brad Gilmore says who his four pillars are. You know what I mean? Like, don't give it all the book. Don't give the shine to him.
Why?
Give the gloss
Why?
To me. You know what I mean? This
show is Booker T and Brad
Gilmore. It's the both of us, damn it.
It's not just Booker T. You know what I mean? So give Brad his flowers. Give him his props. Give him his just due.
I said the pillars, not you. I was a little hot about it. You know what I mean? And if you didn't come on this show and say that you didn't say it, I was going to be hot at you about it, too. I was going to say, this man's going to take that headline. He's just going to own it like it's his.
No, man, no. It's just that's what's wrong with social media sites. These so-called wrestling news sites, they're just looking for something to print to make people, you know, watch their site, click on it and read it and whatnot. And then more importantly, comment on it, because the comment, yeah, I think is what keeps these guys going, really, you know, the engagement of people actually commenting on something that's not real. Like the story that happened at the Pentagon, you know, the smoke out, you get people, you know, get people going. You know, for me, I have zero time to be making up stories about AEW or them wanting people to look at me a certain way because they think I said something negative towards AEW. I don't care about what AEW is doing with their company, other than, you know, if it's good, we'll talk about it. If it's not so great, we'll talk about it. But I have no personal investment in the downfall of AEW.
Right.
Let's just get that out there. Make that perfectly clear. And if you want to write something, write about that. And hopefully, like I say, you know, our listeners here inside the Hall of Fame, when they hear something like this, question it. Write into these publications. Just shut them down, because they need to be shut down more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, 99.9%. Like, there are a few out there who don't do the clickbait, but overwhelming majority do. And you know, it to me, it's just the cheapest form of it. Like, you're trying to make your bones off making somebody else look a certain way. You know what I mean? When they could just run a story the way it's said, and it's still going to get the same amount of clicks, right? Like, it's still going to get the same amount of clicks. But you want to make it even that much more. It's that old, like, you know, you always heard the term in news, if it bleeds, it leads, right? In wrestling, it's like, if it's against AEW, put it on the top of the page.
Yeah,
put it on the banner. Because it's going to get the people to rile them up. Get them mad.
I don't get it. You know, then again, I do get it. You know, it's lonely at the bottom.
No, I get it. But, like, it doesn't make you look like the USA Today or the New York Times. It makes you look like Us Weekly or People Magazine. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a rag mag way of doing things, as opposed to doing it like, hey, this is a real story. This is a story, and we went and we called this source, we called this person, we put this information together to present it to you, and it is the most true version and accurate version of events possible. No, they just
The thing is, all it is to hopefully rile up those, you know, the four pillars, and hopefully they'll say something on social media about
what Booker, yeah,
Booker T supposedly had said, not something that he actually said, but something that he supposedly had said, and to get something going, to get these young guys riled up. You know, in all actuality, I have nothing but love for the young guys that's trying to do this and trying to get to that next level. The four pillars, you know, I don't think you've heard me say anything negative towards either one of those guys.
No. Well, let's see. You trained one of them.
Yeah.
You big up MJF for his abilities. And I've never heard you say anything negative about Darby or Jungle Boy. to my knowledge.
I was on the independent shows with Jungle Boy when before he ever got to AEW, and I was like, man, this kid's talent, man. Please stop him from jumping off everything. That's the way I was with this kid. But I knew as small as he was, this kid had the ability to make it to the next level. The first time I saw him, just on his heart alone, his willingness to be willing to go out there and do anything to make that crowd feel a certain way. Jungle Boy, this guy maybe cut the sideburns, you know, maybe trim the hair. this kid's he's a lot bigger than I actually thought. As well, I was on a convention not too long ago overseas, and this kid was there. Got a chance to meet him, whatnot. Nothing but love for these guys that's trying to make it in this business, but these sites seem to want to make every guy that came from that era bitter about what these young guys are doing. I got a wrestling school, and I have a lot invested in seeing these young guys make it to the next level, as well as got a lot invested in making reality of wrestling the pinnacle of independent wrestling stars that want to make it to that next level. Guys, stick around. You in the Hall of Fame. We got a whole lot to talk about. You in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Yeah, baby. Summer Champions live going down. Humble Civic Center, guys. Don't miss out. Don't get shut out. It's gonna be a hell of a show.
You know,
it's gonna be real good.
It's gonna be incredible.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be good. Don't miss out.
Regarding what we were talking about in the last segment, was kind of the, you know, dirt sheets or whatever you want to call them, the wrestling sites running things that are incorrect. And I likened them to more of a People magazine, like one of those gossip magazines. And I want to actually, it made me think about something that is both wrestling related that was in a gossip magazine, and you may have been there to confirm or deny. I heard a long-standing rumor that was reported, I believe, by a People magazine, Us Weekly kind of magazine back in the 90s, that one Rey Mysterio Jr. was in a romantic relationship with Jennifer Aniston from Friends. Have you ever heard this? And can you confirm or deny?
You know what? I think I do remember hearing something about that.
It was like a gossip magazine that ran this story.
I mean, I think I remember hearing something about that, but don't confirm me on it or anything like that. I think I remember hearing something about that.
Okay.
I thought you was going to say somebody else, and I was going to say, oh yeah, that's true. But
what is it? What you can't leave us on that?
Nah, I mean, look, bro, stories, you know, certain stories that hasn't been reported that's out there in the public, you know what I mean? But a lot of people may not know about, I can't talk about them. You know?
Okay. No worries. Well, shout out to Ray if true. Hey, I wanted to ask you something, though. You've never been somebody, and I don't know if you've seen this going on. It was kind of all over social over the weekend. Lacey Evans. Have you seen all the stuff going on with Lacey Evans?
Yeah. I was reading a lot of the comments about her making her comeback. You know, a lot of people wasn't that impressed with her. A lot of people were calling for Lacey Evans to be fired. All kind of stuff. I didn't actually see the match or anything like that, but a lot of people were saying that it was underwhelming with Zelina Vega, if I'm not mistaken.
Zelina.
Yeah.
I didn't have an issue with the match. What a lot of the conversation has been is she kind of came out dressed pretty much like a female Sergeant Slaughter. And she even uses the Cobra Clutch as her finish. And Sarge's daughter. What are you laughing for?
Go ahead.
Do you think that's a good finish for Lacey?
I was reading that. I was reading that they actually wanted Sergeant Slaughter to be a part of the gimmick, you know?
Yeah, and he said no.
Yeah, that's what I read.
And apparently he didn't give permission. Not that he has to, Not that they need his permission, but he didn't give permission for her to use the full gimmick, the Sergeant Slaughter gimmick, because that's kind of what she even had the hat. Did you see the hat? Did you see that? What are you laughing at? You didn't see the hat?
No, I didn't.
Oh, come on! You had to have seen the hat. Okay, you're gonna pop when you see this. And I got love for Lacey, but you're gonna
a little brave.
Yes. Yeah. You're going to pop when you see this right here. Let me share the screen as we're talking about Lacey Evans, who made her re-debut. Booker can't contain himself.
Oh, my God.
Sarge didn't like the gimmick, and Sarge's daughter took offense to this, took umbrage to it. Now, yeah. here's my – I got to take it off the screen. Here's my question to you. I know that you've been very liberal with giving people what you say permission. You say you don't even need to ask me. If you want to do the spin-a-rooney, do the spin-a-rooney. If you want to do the scissor kick, do the scissor kick. I don't care, right? You've always said that. Or something similar to that. Now, with Sarge, because he holds such high regard with everybody, like Vince McMahon Sr. told Vince Jr., hey, you need to look after Sarge forever. Like, that was one of the guys. That's why Sarge was always around, is the rumor that I've always heard. Like, Vince Sr. said, take care of this guy. Do you feel like if Sarge said no, like, I don't want you using the Cobra Clutch and wearing the hat and doing the gimmick, do you think that they should have listened to that, or does it really not matter?
No, it doesn't matter. You know, yeah. I don't think Sarge has any way in whether, you know, somebody have a certain gimmick or not, if they want to do an army gimmick or not, they want to do the Cobra Clutch or not. That's just not the way the business works or anything like that. Now, on the other hand, some things are almost like sacred, ought to be, you know, rehashed or anything like that. And I just don't think... where the world is right now, we're going to need a savior like, you know, Sergeant Slaughter coming in to save America. You know, we're not, you know, I was just looking at last night A&E's biography on Iron Sheik.
Oh, that was on last night. Yeah.
And Iron Sheik, in that era, when Iron Sheik was doing that, it was perfect timing. You know, when Sergeant Slaughter, you know, did it, it was perfect timing. America was in a totally different place, and we as Americans, as people, we were in a totally different place at that time. And it worked. It worked perfectly. But for Lacey Evans, we've seen her, this sassy, you know, vixen.
Southern Belle, yeah.
Southern Belle, you know, and then to go from that to the story that she had gave there for a minute as far as her background being, you know, whatnot. Then now, you know, jumping into the Sergeant Slaughter. It's just hard, man, because she's jumping all around you. And it's just that character. It's just hard for it to work in 2023, coming out barking orders at that gimmick, you know, wrestler. And we see the characters that get over, you know, the real Ripley's, you know, the Charlotte Flairs, mm-hmm. you know, the Bianca Belairs, just real people. You know what I mean? They're just coming out and making you feel a certain way when you see them walk out that curtain, has a certain something about them that make you feel. And this, when it comes out, it makes you feel like we're in a different era, you know?
Yeah. In the 80s.
I don't think G.I. Bro could work for 1 second today.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't think G.I. Bro would work at all today.
Well, like you said, in the 80s, Sarge at one point was like one of the biggest guys in the business, right? Like
yes.
Sergeant Slaughter was one of the top guys in the business. That's why Vince wanted him so bad in the territory, because he was the guy. This guy had a G.I. Joe action figure on his own. Like they put in a wrestler.
He was the biggest baby face as well as the biggest heel.
One of the biggest heels ever when he turned.
I one of the biggest at that time.
God, man. When he turned.
It was bigger than Sergeant Slaughter when he was heel.
I mean, they got death threats sent to his house because of how
the world was on fire when Sergeant Slaughter was healed.
When he went with the Ayatollah.
Oh my God, man. When he turned on America, wrestling was real. Like I say, that's why I say we're in a different era now. We could that Sergeant that could not work today, what Sergeant Slaughter did.
Right. And like I think it's cool to play into Lacey Evans' real life military background, but I think that there's probably a better way to go about it than with the hat gimmick and the Cobra Clutch. I mean, the Cobra Clutch is fine if you want to use it as a finish, hat gimmick.
One thing, that I always say about my female wrestlers, I always tell them, never lose your femininity.
Mm-hmm.
Never lose your sex appeal. I say, because men, they come to see you wrestle, but more importantly, they come to see you.
Yeah.
And Lacey Evans being, playing a military character is taken away from a lot of assets that she have that she could actually use.
And before somebody on the internet comments and is like, women have progressed past that.
Well, no.
But what I was going to say is, but wrestling is also men. Most of the top stars use their sex appeal on the male side.
Well, let me tell you, let's say this. It may be past that on the independent scene, but as far as the major leagues, it's never going to be past that as far as what men come to see, as far as they're going to always want to see a beautiful woman.
Sure.
I don't care if it's mud wrestling. I don't care if it's, cat fighting. Why do you think? I just saw Clarissa Shields at the weigh-in over the weekend. She weighed in a purple bikini, G-string, makeup was perfect. Hair done, wig right. It's a fighter, man. She's looking good, dog. I'm serious, man. She still made sure she kept her sex appeal going into a fight. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. And and they do it on both sides of the spectrum, men and women. So I see what you're saying with Lacey Evans.
I did it.
Yeah.
I made sure I wore the shortest tights that I could find.
Yeah.
Because the ladies was looking, baby all down. Made sure, rubber band pump up before the match. Oh yeah. We gotta take a break, guys. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute.
I just wanna free fall like the rain outside.
This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, y'all. Bless for everything. We got any super chatters, man?
Yeah, we have a couple. Let's go to Virgil Dawkins right now, who says, I had to get two different cable subscriptions to watch AEW and Impact. Isn't this why WWE kept SmackDown on network TV originally for better exposure? Well, of course, being on network, man, everybody gets Fox. Everybody gets NBC, ABC, CBS.
Smart move.
CW.
Have wrestling on network television, man, where everybody can see it. Yeah, smart move.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I mean, that was back in the day. What was it called back in the day? SmackDown was on UPN. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
UPN. Yeah. And UPN, man, like that was, I remember my folks, they used to have they had a Suburban that had the TV. Ish. I had the TV in the Suburban.
Okay.
I remember I'd never seen a TV in a car before. They got the TV in the car. But the gimmick they don't tell you what the TV is, reception on this thing. We'll give you the TV, whether you could watch it or not. That's a different story. And this is like 05, 06, somewhere in that.
Yeah.
But it would get UPN, and UPN would be crystal. So on that Thursday or Friday, whenever SmackDown was, man, I was excited to take a ride in the car just to watch
it. You can just watch it at the house?
Well, normally, you know, we were going out to dinner or something, you know, when I was a kid, you know, going with the folks.
High roller, dog.
High roller, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they didn't tell you that. That stuff didn't pick up well. Let's see. This is from this guy named Alex who says, do you think it matters that Lacey was actually in the Marines, whereas Sergeant Slaughter allegedly was not? Well, one, it's a gimmick. So, no. But, well, I mean, what do you think? I think it helps that she's in the Marines. I think you can play up to that background without having to do the Sarge gimmick.
Look, man, I was G.I. bro, and I had a scar on my back, and I told people I caught shrapnel in Grenada. Okay? So it doesn't matter. This is wrestling. You make up stories. Her being in the military, it may help her draw from, you know, certain, you know, feelings, whatnot, and certain situation, whatnot. But I don't think wrestling and being in the military coincides with each other in, you know, many ways, if any at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, like they say the best characters play off your real life. And I think that's true to an extent. But, you know, remember back in the 90s when, especially in WWF, WCW had some of these, but it was mainly a WWF thing where you had like the occupational gimmicks where everyone's like job. Like Paul Bearer at one point was a real mortician. He worked in a funeral home. So they're like, make him a mortician on air. There was Duke the Dumpster Drosy and Repo Man. And
Isaac Yankum.
Isaac Yankum DDS. Yeah. And none of those gimmicks got over except for Paul Bearer. But none of the other gimmicks got over. Yeah. You know, and guess what? The ones that did get over.
I tell you what, I would not say those gimmicks didn't get over. They kind of faded away. They were there for their time.
That's a better way to put it.
They worked for their time.
They worked in the moment, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily say they didn't work or they didn't get over. They got over and they worked only for a certain amount of time, of course, because the time changed.
Right.
And once the time changed, you know, once, like I say, NWO stuff started happening.
Everything was out the window.
Stuff like that anymore. I mean, can you imagine being Glacier and on the same roster with the NWO?
Yeah,
can you
horrible.
Imagine that? Good yeah. God, man.
Glacier was cool, though. Cool entrance.
It was cool before the NWO came.
Right.
And then he cooled off very quickly.
What was the other one? Mortis?
Exactly. Another one.
Mortis.
I mean, that kind of stuff was cool for a moment because you had, you know, Skeletor, you know, stupid.
You had RoboCop.
He-Man, stupid stuff like that. But times changed very, very quickly. Those gimmicks back then, I think I liked a lot of them. They were cool. But wrestling, once wrestling changed, those gimmicks went away. And I think that's what we're trying to recreate here with Lacey maybe is that gimmick form of wrestling. And, you know, that, man, it's just so hard for me to go back to that time.
It's a bygone era. It really is a bygone era. And like you said, you can use some of those to help fuel your, you know, character. But also, you don't have to tie in your real life background sometimes, right? Like, you don't have, like, for instance,
this is the way I look at it. This is the way I really see it. I just feel like, you know, if you don't change with the times will pass you by. Her having that military background, you know, just say for instance, she, you know how football players have that war paint on?
Yeah, the eye black.
Had, you know, like a strip of war paint on right mm-hmm. there or something like that. It still had a outfit on where people looked at her and know where she came from. Mm-hmm. And now they see exactly why she is so tenacious. And then she got the war paint on at the same time. That right there for me symbolizes, you know, where she came from, it symbolizes her being in today opposed to trying to go back to yesteryear.
I got love for Lacey, but that hat's ridiculous. That hat's got to go.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, remember when Karrion Kross came up to the main roster and he had like the gimmick mask and like the
same thing. Humongous. Humongous worked. I loved the Humongous. Mm-hmm. It was an awesome character. I remember when the Humongous had to, after he beat everybody, you know, just killed everybody, destroyed everybody. And then he had to wrestle Jake the Snake Roberts. And Jake hit him with the DDT. Bang! You know, Jake, you know, rolls over. Humongous sits up like the Undertaker. He gets back up. Jake hits him with another DDT. Bang! 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it was great. It was a great era. But that time has long passed us. And we'll never be able to go back to the days of the Humongous.
Right. Or the, you know what my favorite one was? The Missing Link. Do you remember The Missing Link?
Oh, I love The Missing Link.
Missing Link was sweet. He was one of my favorite.
He could wrestle. He could do everything. But he was a gimmick. You know?
Yeah. Well, I love when he would jump off and he hold his hair.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love The Missing Link, man. Missing Link, he had to be like in his 50s, you know, because he had that 50-year-old body, but he still looked great, you know. But, yeah, man, gimmicks like that, man, they were great for their time, but I'm a true believer. If I still had a flat top and a fade, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right. You got to change, man. You got to change. You got to change with the times. With the times will pass you by, as you say. Yeah. Virgil Dawkins said, why did Stevie Ray decide to move to commentary on WCW Thunder in 1999? After you went to WWE in 02, was he ever contacted to do commentary on SmackDown or Raw? That sounds like a Stevie Ray question.
Yeah, that is a Stevie Ray question, but I hear all kind of stuff. I was listening to Vince Russo and my brother, and they was talking about a story. We just might as well bring it up before we get out of here. Bringing up a story, and it was to ask my brother why didn't he ever come to the WWE, and he was like, well, he didn't want to make Harlem. He didn't want WWE to make Harlem Heat out of a mockery. And I'm like, I was a singles wrestler at that time. I don't even know. I didn't even understand the question. I'm like, the question should have been, why did you go to WWE? You know, from a singles perspective, not as a tag, because I wasn't in a tag team, and I wasn't even expected to go back to a tag team wrestler. I got a lot of respect for Vince Russo. But putting my brother in that position to answer a question like that, to make it seem like, it was Harlem Heat that was going to be looked at in WWE, opposed to the four-time world heavyweight champion, Booker T, having a singles career, and Stevie Ray having a singles career. And perhaps we happened to come back together at one point to make it. The reason why he did not go was because of not making Harlem Heat out of a mockery. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. Now, I will say, having heard your brother on commentary back on WCW Thunder and having done a little commentary with him, he's great. Like, he's really good at that. He's funny. He's entertaining. He knows how to get the story over. Like, I always liked working with him on commentary.
Oh, man, his vernacular. I mean, he knows every word in the freaking dictionary. I mean, he could definitely talk on every level, about every sport. He would have been great at it. But I do remember my brother once I got there and I told my brother that WWE wanted to look at him. You know, they wanted to bring him in and take a look at him. And the way I remember it, my brother was like, man, I don't want to do that. And he definitely didn't want to have to get looked at opposed to just being hired. And I feel that. No, I get that 100%. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I remember the story.
Well, you know what? We never got Harlem Heat in the WWE, although we have Harlem Heat in the WWE Hall of Fame, so it all worked out really at the end, right? You had a great run in WWE, and you got in.
Totally unexpected, too. Totally unexpected for Harlem Heat to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's not something that I lobbied for. That's not something that I asked anybody to do for, Harlem Heat or my brother or anything like that. That's just something that they felt like we had put in the work as a tag team to be honored enough to be put inside the WWE Hall of Fame. And me personally, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, because there are other tag teams out there who haven't gotten that nod yet. And
a lot of tag teams that actually worked in the WWE.
Nasty Boys. Demolition.
Yep, yeah, teams that I'm lobbying for. I'm lobbying for teams like the Nasty Boys to get that shot because, man, those guys, I think Harlem Heat would have been, we were without the Nasty Boys, but I tell you, man, we were much better with the Nasty Boys, Sags and Knobs, man. We were so much better facing that team throughout our careers.
Yeah, man. They were great. There are a lot of great WWE tag teams. You know, there was an era where tag team wrestling was just off the charts, and hopefully we get back to that. Doing good right now.
You know, I don't know. I don't think we'll ever be. Yeah, those days over. They're gone.
They're gone.
I'm just playing. We got some great tag teams right now. Them Gallus boys. I got to get ready to get out of here for NXT tomorrow. But guys, I just want to thank everybody for stepping inside the Hall of Fame, getting your champagne wishes, caviar drink. Bradley, as always, man, I appreciate you. But right now, I got to go to work, y'all. Peace. We out.